I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're on the radio 1 until 4 after 4 o'clock. Do like millions are doing. Go to the podcast, iHeartRadio app, John and Ken on demand, and listen to whatever you missed.
Yeah. All right, we got money for you, as it's another chance. It's continuing the KFI Inflation Compensation Contest. A keyword will be revealed in about 15 minutes. Follow the instructions, you can win $1,000. Exciting news. We got to go north, and we got to go fast, because the northern lights have been visible over the northern part of the United States from Maine to Michigan. People were able to view them last night, and also it's possible that tonight into tomorrow,
what time?
The phenomenon may be visible.
What time?
Well, nighttime. I don't know.
No, does it say throughout the evening?
I think so. It's probably sporadic. Apparently, there was some sort of a solar storm that caused this to happen. On Friday, the sun let off a large burst of energy.
Like a burp.
Yes. Well, they're known as coronal mass ejections.
That sounds disgusting, isn't it?
This scientist actually said, yes, the sun spit off a big blob of plasma.
Right, exactly. It's like phlegm.
Oh, it was, you don't want to get hit with that,
huh?
I guess.
No, solar phlegm, that burns.
Yeah. It has its own magnetic field, and it's been moving through space, and it reached Earth's magnetic field on Sunday when the two collided to create a geomagnetic storm. And the guy said it got everything pretty revved up. And when this happens, the aurora can be seen closer to the equator. Mm. The events are not that uncommon. They occur, about 100 occur every 11 years.
I saw this on a map last night.
Yeah.
And they had a red line where they thought it was going to go as far as Northern California. And then the red line went from west to east across the country.
Oh, yeah. I heard it was 30 states, but most of them are the northern states.
Right.
It said Maine to Michigan, but you think it might have come further west? Or?
No, they on this map, they had it covering the whole country, coast to coast.
Do you see the picture in the New York Times? It's visible over Whitley Bay in northeastern England, which this morning. It's quite an image, too. You can see the green sky in the background. That's something we both talked about wanting to see.
Normally
you have to go to Alaska or Iceland. You have to go in the winter.
That would be a whole vacation trip, see?
It would be, yes.
I could save a lot of money if that phenomenon would just come this way.
Yes.
I see it for 5 minutes and I can cross it off. It's like, okay, I don't have to travel to the Arctic to see this.
Yeah.
That'd be exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. They shared images of a sky painted with deep purples and bright greens. The northern lights could also be seen over Maine, parts of Wisconsin, as well as in Toronto, Canada. And some were seen over southern England. How about that?
So it didn't go that far south last night.
Did not. And I think tonight will be even less of it, I guess, because whatever, you know, that solar storm is going to fade. The phenomenon will fade. So the effect of it causing this will fade as well.
It's like a big belch.
That's exactly how one scientist described it. It burped out a large blob of plasma.
It's a technical term.
Right. Yeah, and normally see it.
Yeah, it's been holding it in a while.
It says here as far south as Iowa in the United States.
That's not good enough.
It got picked up. All right, obviously one of the big stories today comes from three different directions in the media world. Three. Parting of the ways. Tucker Carlson is out at Fox News. But the way it's being described, it's sort of like it was mutual.
I don't know. It's not.
I guess not. He was on Friday and said, see you Monday.
The LA Times has it. He was blindsided.
Oh. Do you think this was part of the settlement with Dominion voting that he had to go?
No, I'm reading the time. When I first saw the story, you assumed it was just the Dominion story. Based on this LA Times story, if you trust them,
And I'm looking at CNN here, and my thought too is,
Well, there was a lot going on. They didn't like the way he was covering the January 6th riot. The analysis he was doing. Remember, the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, gave Carlson some previously unseen video, and Carlson put together a series of programs how the FBI had infiltrated the crowd,
right,
and started that particular riot. There's also something, a serious lawsuit from his producer, Abby Grossberg, said that she was bullied and subjected to anti-Semitic comments. She was ordered by company lawyers to give misleading answers in the Dominion defamation case.
Is that a new lawsuit or has that been around?
That popped up recently, last month.
Yeah, they're fighting two lawsuits from her.
Yes. She just got fired last month, so she filed the lawsuit.
Oh, okay.
And so her attorney, take this for what it's worth, his departure is in part an admission of the systemic lying, bullying, and conspiracy mongering claimed by our client, Abby Grossberg. Like, I guess she wanted to tell the truth about the Dominion situation, and the company lawyers were telling her not to do it.
Also, they were conflicted because we saw those behind-the-scenes texts where it didn't seem like they thought that the most of Trump's lawyers were out of their minds, right? That
Clearly, Tucker Carlson is a big phony because clearly he thought...
Sidney Powell, that's her name, the big Trump lawyer.
Oh, he even called her the C word in one of the texts.
Apparently he did, yes, in some private
but
text.
But he on the air, he was giving a lot of support for this stolen election nonsense. Behind the scenes, he's writing text saying that he hates Trump. These lawyers are crazy. This is all BS, but we got to keep going. Because this is what the audience expects.
Right.
And he tried to get one of the reporters fired who was debunking some of the conspiracy theories. It's like, how could she do that? She needs to go. So you look at that, and it's like you're trying to get reporters who are reporting the truth fired. You're telling all your buddies behind the scenes how insane this story is, and then you're going on the air and supporting it.
Yeah, they were really conflicted, weren't they?
Well,
you had to imagine. I mean, I was watching Fox News that night when they called Arizona for Biden. You know, I stared at the TV. Do you realize that was a flashpoint in all this?
Yeah, I know.
that created a lot of anger within Fox employees. Were very upset that they did that because, again, that state didn't get called for a while after that by any other.
Trump's plan was to go on television that night and declare himself the winner. But he had to do it before certain states were called, right? So that he still had a plausible argument. Well, Arizona's not decided yet. Pennsylvania's not decided yet. And then Fox became the first one to say, no, Arizona went to Biden. Well, that blows up Trump's plan. Now, instead of being the first one in declaring himself a victory, now it looks like sour grapes. because that sealed his fate when it came to the electoral votes.
Yeah.
And Carlson was afraid of losing audience to other networks. He just thought the audience got killed. He thought he insulted the management over and over again for allowing the news department to contradict what the opinion hosts were saying. Right. And what that did is it took away a lot of Fox's case, because you can claim in court, hey, that was my opinion. Opinion is always protected. Or, hey, we're just covering the news. We're just presenting the other side. But if you start pushing primarily guests who are claiming a conspiracy, and you're amplifying the conspiracy, and in your private text you're saying, this is a load of crap, but we have to do it to hold on to the audience. See, the judge took away a lot of Fox's conventional arguments that they might have prevailed on. Yes, it was news. Yes, we're presenting the other side. Yes, the hosts are expressing opinions. See, that's all fair game.
Right.
But once it became clear, it's like, no, we're intentionally pushing a fake story to hold on to our audience. Well, now you're into defamation territory, and that's why they had to settle.
And the best example of that I saw was that they had one guest who was literally claiming they had evidence that Dominion changed votes in the machines.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, you're going to get that crazy specific. Yeah, they're going to come after you, of course.
Right, exactly. Because, I mean, that's a company. Well, I mean, they sued for $1.5 billion. Those are the losses they thought they potentially would suffer. And they got $800 million out of it. Now, there was also another thing.
I heard, though, they didn't really lose any business. There wasn't a lot. I thought I read later, like a year later, that the fallout wasn't that tremendous business-wise.
I don't know. They claim reputational damage. I don't know how to put a value on that, but I guess lawyers do. Also, Tucker Carlson called Ray Epps. Hmm. He was a Texas man who was part of the storming of the Capitol. Called him an FBI plant. Never presented any evidence. Epps went on 60 Minutes Sunday and said he was subjected to death threats because of Carlson's statements about him.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And the FBI told 60 Minutes that Epps has never worked for the agency. So there was a lot of stuff going on here. I mean, you remember when we were interviewed by Tucker Carlson years ago when he was on MSNBC?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah,
yes.
he was normal. He was like this wiener bow tie guy.
He was conservative, but yeah.
But milk
toast. Not over the top.
Mild-mannered milk toast. I don't know. I guess he figured out what was going to make him big money, and he really went for it.
Think it'll reappear somewhere? No?
Well, I think CNN will hire him.
CNN will hire Tucker Carlson?
I think that's what they ought to do. They're out of bullets. They have no program.
Yes, they have no ratings.
They have no ratings. They have no prospects.
Fox News' problems is lawsuit, and CNN is no audience.
Last week, they had the lowest ratings they've had in over 30 years.
Oh. Well, that's what we're going to talk about when we come back, because the Lemonhead is out. Don Lemon has also parted ways with CNN, although there was some debate over that this morning. We'll bring you that story. Also, coming up, we're going to be talking to Blake Trolley from KFI News about these 10 Glendale restaurants that were robbed in one night, one crazy night. It wasn't the first time for some of them. When we return right away, you're going to hear a keyword, your chance for some money. John and Ken Show, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI, AM 640.
All right, well, it started kind of mildly this morning with an announcement that the head of NBC Universal is out. He had a relationship with a CNBC anchor, an attractive lady named Hadley Gamble. And now it's turned into he's being accused of sexual harassment beyond just an inappropriate workplace relationship. And, of course, Shell was married. So it was kind of a story. But then hours later, Tucker Carlson's out at Fox News. And now Don Lemonhead has parted ways with CNN. 17 years he was there.
It didn't
really dawn on me that I don't watch that channel either, but I had no idea he was there that long. I know he was in other roles before they gave him like his own show.
He was.
And when they move him to mornings here at the end, right?
Yes. And he has no following.
I am hard pressed. Exactly. And you know what? I do. Oh, I just did what you do. You know what?
You know what?
I know. I did it.
It's a Jersey thing.
I'm telling myself, I'm not from Jersey. I do know some people that really hated Trump. And when Trump was president, they followed all of the cable news channels just to keep an eye on things because they thought the world was coming to an end.
Well,
including, of course, MSNBC and CNBC. Also networks now that have like no viewers like CNN.
You know what? I'm actually very amused by this.
Oh, but my point was none of them ever mentioned Don Lemonhead. They had all these other anchors they liked, you know, the guy Scarborough and a few of them. They
Chris Cuomo or Rachel
Maddow.
What
was the one with the glasses that
Rachel left? Maddow.
That's it, Rachel Maddow. But they never mentioned Don Lemon as being somebody they tuned in to get the latest on why we hate Trump. He has no following. That's a good point.
Nobody was ever interested in anything he had to say. And
how did he stay afloat all these years?
Well, I have two theories, but I'm not going to go into them.
I knew it. I walked into that one. Well, he said he was shocked to learn that he had been terminated.
Yeah, the rest of the world.
CNN calls it a parting of the ways.
Everyone else was shocked that he lasted 17 years.
Yeah, exactly.
I
you know what? And I ignored stories about him this year about he's misogynist. And I don't care. I started to ignore them. I saw the headlines.
Right.
There's some tabloids that follow this breathlessly.
Yeah. I can't get wrapped up into shows or personalities that I never watch. They're like distant cartoon characters.
Right.
But I do understand that every single show on, nobody designed it for me, right? Nobody said, hey, I'm going to call John, see what he wants to see and hear on television, right? So I know most everything is not really directed for me. I am not the demographic.
No, not since the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
No. All right. So that's nothing's meant for me. So there's no point in me saying, oh, I hate that show. I don't like them. I don't get it. Of course I don't get it. None of it was designed to please me. But Don Lemon, I really didn't get. The few times that I passed through him, I just looked and said, wow. You got to hand it to him. He's been able to make that much money that many years on this big a platform. Wow. You know, there are just some guys, you don't know what the story is, but, you know, he's going to live a good life, do whatever he wants.
Kind of interesting that both announcements were made this morning. Not that these are huge stars in any world, but they're known names, and they're both out, like the same, within an hour.
Well, you know what? They have an outsized. There's only two channels that the media covers, and that's CNN and Fox News, right? That gets an enormous amount of coverage. And then you look at the amount of people, and it's like 3 million, 2 million. Don Lemon
might have
had 700,000. It's like there's 330 million people in the country. They've got the best shows, have 3 million watching. And that can make you, you know, $10 or $20 million, but still, it's 3 million, and there's another 327 million people who aren't watching.
Yeah, I compare this to the award shows. The coverage that the award shows get, especially the Academy Awards and all the rest of these dopey Grammy Awards, and then you look at the actual tune-in numbers, and it's so low. You're like, why does it get so much coverage by the rest of the media?
Plus, I know that a lot of these guys are selling stuff they don't believe in, right? Tucker Carlson was on television for 25 years before he assumed this persona that made him famous and rich. He never espoused any of this for the first 25 years he was on TV. None of it. And so it always struck me, it's like, this guy's acting up because, you know, he's pushing 50. This is his last chance for the big payday. You know, so he was taking over for Bill O'Reilly. So he knew there was some kind of persona, some kind of character he had to create. And finally, he was exposed. It was just a persona. He was an actor. And I don't know what Don Lemon believes in. I don't really care, but he could be acting up too. Much of the audience, and this works on the fringe people, right? The people who watch the fringe left wing shows or the right wing shows, they don't know that they're being manipulated. They don't know that they're being told what they want to hear. Tucker Carlson, not one day on that show meant what he was saying, but he knew that his audience wanted to hear it. And it's the same thing with a lot of the left-wing people. They know what the audience wants to hear. There's a market for it, right? These people like strawberries, I'm going to sell them strawberries. These people want hamburgers, I'm going to sell them hamburgers.
Well, that's exactly where the problem came in with the election of 2020, because now it's like a certain reality comes up against trying to give them what they want. Yeah. And that's why there was so much infighting right. at that network.
So Trump's
because they're like, well, we're going to lose audience to some of the other cable news channels that will cover what we won't in terms of the election being stolen. What do we do here? Well, we'll put on a few guests. Well, and then the guests went over the top.
Right. Yeah, the Frankenstein monster got out of control. Once Trump said the election's stolen, then a lot of his followers wanted to hear that every day. They wanted to know that there's no way that their guy could have lost a legitimate election. Had to have been stolen. So the people at Fox said, okay, they want to hear it was stolen. We'll tell them it was stolen. Every day we'll go on the air and tell them it was stolen. And we'll get this lawyer and that lawyer and okay, that's the story. Because if we don't do it, someone else will, and then they'll take our money. It's no more complicated than that, and that's the truth. And you shouldn't let yourself get manipulated by this nonsense, but that's human nature.
Yeah, well, whatever happened to, let's just program for the normal people who have a more rational understanding of the world and some of the stories and don't run into conspiracy rabbit holes on either the left or the right, they're still underserved. But I think the problem with that is, and I've told people this who ask me these questions, they're not as rabid a follower. In other words, they may tune into your show and agree, but they may not be there every day.
No.
But once you start programming to the rabbit hole conspiracy hole people, they're there all the time. They're like, you're my guy. All right, listen, you're 24/7. Anything you have to say, all right, gobble it up. Whatever products you have to sell. So that's the problem you run into.
Yeah.
And now that we have so many media outlets serving so many tastes, you can easily see people setting up that way.
If you could get... I mean, it's not even 1% of the audience. If you get not even 1% of the audience, you get them to show up every night, you are going to make, the network is going to make hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah. And you as a host will make tens of millions of dollars. And again, you're getting less than 1% of the total public audience.
All right. When we return, at least 10 restaurants were burglarized early Saturday morning in Glendale. This is almost hard to believe. There is video, but of course, most of the robbers are well covered up. Covering the story and getting some reaction from people in Glendale, especially the restaurant owners and workers, is Blake Trolley. He'll be our guest next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeart Radio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 2 o'clock news, our guest will be the mayor of Laverne, John. How about that? Tim Hepburn. We're bringing them on because this is something you need to be aware of, and it could be happening in a place near you. And it's another big building project. But in this particular case, where they want to put this housing is in an unincorporated area of Laverne and another nearby town, San Dimas. So Laverne's control over this, or Shirley's, you like that joke? No? is kind of not so good. But you see, this is the trick they're probably going to pull in a lot of areas where they can just wedge in the housing in places where they can just run around the city council, the local government. We'll be talking to Tim after the news at 2 o'clock.
So this is crazy. Glendale, 10 Glendale. Restaurants burglarized early Saturday morning.
What a streak. I wonder how long that took.
I don't know. I love the list. Sing Woo Kitchen.
Yeah.
Cafe Bravo, Stone Oven Pizza, Heron's Kitchen, Patar Shawarma, Rockbird, China Food Express, Pizza Man, El Munchies.
El Munchies.
Thai Touch Restaurant.
Oh, yeah. I saw the Thai Touch guy on TV talking about this because there is surveillance video. Let's bring Blake Trolley on from KFI News. He's got a lot more details on this madness.
Well, they hit every ethnicity on this list.
Was it somebody that had too much marijuana, was having an urge to...
It was like a dine and dash without the dine, guys. And all of these took place within, you ask about timeline, they took place within 2 hours of each other. Seven of these break-ins were at businesses on Colorado. The others are west of here, so in that Brand area, kind of closer to the Atwater area. Surveillance video, as you guys have pointed to, has surfaced of these break-ins, and three people in hoods are seen smashing into a restaurant. It appears these guys did have a pattern. You see this in this video as well. They broke in, went for the cash register, then took off. Now, police at this time do not have any suspect information, nor have they confirmed how many suspects there are. We know at least three, at least judging by the surveillance video that surfaced. They say they're still in the process of looking through surveillance video.
What did they take?
That's the interesting thing. Not a whole lot. It sounds like a lot of these restaurants have become kind of wise to this because, at least in the case that, you know, I spoke to one of the restaurant owners. We'll get to that right now, actually. This is Rockbird, the owner of Rockbird, and he gave us a rundown of what happened.
In the morning of Saturday at around 2 a.m., we were broken into for the second time this year. So we were broken into. Three individuals came in. They went straight to the cash register, took about $8 in change.
Eight?
Opened up a few drawers, tried to look for some things, and that's all they got, $8.
But I know your window was smashed out. I mean, I saw the photos on social media. What did that cost you?
That runs us about $1,500. And so $1,500 within twice within 4 months is a pretty penny.
So this is the second time they've been hit. And again, as you guys hear, there not a whole lot of money was taken. I've seen reports and interviews with other business owners who say very similarly that they are not keeping a lot of cash in their register. So at this point, I haven't heard of some astronomical figure money being taken from anybody. That said, it is costly. You hear them there talking about $3,000 when you add up the two doors in just a few months. And these restaurants.
The purpose wasn't vandalism. The purpose was to
find something to steal. I mean, but
yeah,
that's what I heard the store owners say, that we're small businesses. There's not much here to take. These are just dumb burglars.
You know, guys, one of the things I want to point out is that it appears they were really after these small restaurants. And the best example of that I can give you is on Colorado. There's a little restaurant. Again, all of these restaurants are in strip malls. These are like hole in the wall type places. If you on Colorado, there's one door, it's busted out, then there's an untouched business, then another restaurant that has its door busted out. Well, that untouched business in the middle, so this would be the meat of the sandwich, is a luxury pawn shop with jewelry, Kate Spade bags, Louis Vuitton bags inside. Sure. I spoke to the owner. She said that just the presence of them busting the windows next to her business on either side tripped her alarm twice. She thought for sure it was her business. So what, do you feel lucky that they don't choose? I mean, I'm seeing Louis Vuitton bags. You've got plenty of expensive jewelry here. I mean, Kate Spade bags. Are you surprised they didn't choose to come inside here?
A little. I think that lucky on one hand, but also nervous. I don't know. You always sort of think like, I mean, were they trying to get to us? You know, it's flanking me on both sides, but it's kind of my thoughts were when I took the emotion out of it is, first of all, from what I've been reading, it's all restaurants that have been hit. And so my assumption might be that they just think that we are alarmed to the hilt, you know, and so it's just your easiest, what's the easiest thing that I can get through and into the next? And probably mine isn't, because you'll even see behind you is, so we have these windows here, but then there's also that roll down security gate. And so we run the screens at night, but you can see into it. So maybe it was just doesn't look easy, doesn't look fast.
But what gets even weirder about this, guys, is if you go to back to Rockbird, you'd think, okay, well, maybe it's that she had added security. But again, there was a liquor store right next door. They didn't hit that. So it's kind of like, why these 10 businesses? There's so many questions, you know, that are just left unanswered
before.
By all of
you
this.
You said they've been burglarized before. Did they get much the first time? Why would they come back?
So, yeah, when it comes to Rockbird, it was confirmed to me that a few months ago, so this was in January, they had a group of people go in there and they stole $800 and took off. And by the way, the woman I just spoke with, the one who runs the jewelry store, says both of those restaurants on either side of her had been broken into before. Both those restaurants, unfortunately, today are closed. I wasn't able to get in and speak with the owners. But again, they had been hit before. The Thai restaurant said, you know, he'd been hit before. So it sounds like,
but
you know,
night,
they've really got a theft issue around here, you know, when you hear about these repeat break-ins.
But for restaurants and most small businesses, nobody keeps cash in their register anymore.
And you saw that with the reporting. In fact, John, one of the guy at Rockbird said they're thinking about just going cashless completely for what it's worth.
Well, that's another thing. Most people are using credit cards or debit cards to pay for their ordinary purchases and meals during the day. You know, I rarely see anybody pull out a wad of cash to pay. So
yeah, I thought they might take equipment or food even. They're just looking for the cash, huh?
They went straight for the cash drawer, straight for the cash register, but it really makes you wonder, why are they targeting these small restaurants? Maybe it is low security. Maybe they feel like it's, you know, small amounts of money. And if you, you know, you hit 10, you get, you know, these little increments of money. Theft charges would be lower. I don't know. I mean, there's so many theories here.
They're dumb thieves. That's what it is. Maybe they were stoned, whacked out on some drug.
Yeah, just need some money for something.
You obviously would. Like when we saw those run of smash and grab robberies in Beverly Hills, jewelry stores, handbag stores. That made sense, right? That's thousands of dollars
for
each item. This is ridiculous. Stealing a petty change out of a
cash register.
Out of a cash register is nuts.
And it's costly to these businesses. You know, that the one thing that the guy from Rockbird told me is like, we're all small businesses. You know, replacing our door for $1,500, this is a big expense for a business this size. So all of these people are being hit with these huge, you know, as far as to scale to their business, these are big bills.
Yeah.
They're being left with from this. So.
All right, Blake, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Blake Trolley, KFI News, covering the burglary over Saturday night of at least 10 restaurants in Glendale within a couple hour period. We also found out today that a San Francisco Target store has now been putting all of its products on lockdown. All of their apparently footage was posted to TikTok showing aisle after aisle of toiletries and cosmetics under lock and key in this particular Target store in San Francisco. You probably are aware that sometimes razors are locked up and some other items, but in this case, even mouthwash, shampoo, lotion, all locked up. So that means to buy anything there, you'd have to find a clerk and get him to open up the...
What a pain in the neck. See, that's not worth... That's not a store worth shopping in.
A pack of gum?
I've got no patience because they don't have employees at these stores. No. They just don't. I've gone into a Walgreens recently in San Francisco, actually, a few months ago. They have no employees, and what they have in the aisles, they have a pillar, and there's a little box on the pillar with a red button, and press the red button to get
sometimes nothing happens,
and you press it, and sometimes there's a little announcement. You know, help wanted in the pharmaceutical
aisle. Oh, yeah, they do
aisle.
Have that. Yes.
Help wanted in the pharma. So nobody comes. So I hit it a second time. Help wanted in the pharmaceutical. I hit it a third time. And, you know, it keeps going off on the speaker, but no human being shows up. I have no patience for this. I don't care about your problems. You got shoplifters. You should be electing different people who put the shoplifters in jail. You don't do that because you know everybody in San Francisco is voting for the idiot politicians who allow the shoplifters to run wild, right? That place is like 93% Democrat. So I know the voting patterns of everybody who owns these businesses.
I just buy everything online now and have it delivered.
Huh? Yeah, I do a lot of that now, too.
Even like household products, right? I don't bother. I mean, it's just a few grocery items I go pick up.
Well, because nothing's in stock. They don't have any employees anymore at these places. It's just a hassle. Lines are too long. You know, they have 7 cash register stations, and they'll have 1 employee working. And there's literally, because I counted this one day, I went in to buy something. I counted 22 people in line. I turned around and got out of there.
Coming up, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4. After 4 o'clock, the iHeart app is where our podcast is. Same show. You get to catch up on the parts you missed. It's called John and Ken on Demand.
All right, coming up after 2 o'clock, the mayor of Laverne is returning to the John and Ken show. His name is Tim Hepburn. We'll be talking to him about, well, what do you know, putting up a big housing project that is not in Laverne, and it's not in nearby town San Dimas, but it's in an unincorporated area around there. And that means the L.A. County Board of Supervisors and other state people are controlling the situation, and well, he's going to talk to us about it. It's a proposed affordable housing project at 740 East Foothill Boulevard. And one of the problems or the complaints from local officials is they really weren't given much information or a heads up about this. It's just going to happen. And this is probably another peek at the future. And they want to put up these large housing projects. And if they get a lot of opposition like they have from places in Huntington Beach, and we talked about the island of Coronado last week, they'll just find places probably close enough to your town, but not run or controlled by your town. They can just plop up big affordable housing projects.
No, that's
another plan, the way they can do this.
Because no town, no neighborhood wants these. Nobody wants these projects.
Right.
Because what kind of people are you going to have living there? A lot of people don't want to live next to the housing project crowd. They don't.
No. This is a particular 54 units, 53 one-bedroom, 1 two-bedroom manager unit.
And nobody wants to be told they have to. You will get no stiffer opposition than if you tell people, hey, we're going to move a new crowd in next door to you, and you're just going to have to suck it up and take it. Oh, my God. You're going to get so much resistance, and they always get resistance. You can't do that to people. And they don't care what names you call them. They don't.
Well, we're going to check in on something we've talked about a bit over the last several weeks. After the disappointing appointment of Eric Garcetti to become ambassador to India after 1.5 years, it's too bad, though, it happened, and I guess he's there. We don't know. The next battle is to try to keep a woman who ran our labor department here in California away from a better job. Her name is Julie Sue. She's a lifetime labor union official, but she was the state of California's head of labor before Biden tapped her as a deputy in the U.S. Department of Labor. And now she's nominated to take over the entire United States Labor Department as the secretary. What's sitting on the table is the, for one thing, the huge fraud that she presided over when she was the head of labor in California. Over $30 billion was stolen. So she's going through her confirmation hearings in the Senate now, committee, and maybe eventually a full Senate vote. And who but the man that ran for president in 2012 would go after her? Does anybody remember who challenged Obama in 2012?
That would be Mitt Romney.
There you go, 11 years ago.
Do I get a prize?
It was Mitt Romney who eventually went on to become a U.S. senator from Utah. And we have a back and forth between Romney and Julie Sue.
Under your leadership in California, $31 billion was fraudulently paid out. Now there's a principle in all sorts of enterprises known as the Peter Principle, which is people get promoted to a point where their competence is no longer been established. In this case, your record there is so severely lacking. I don't know how in the world it makes sense for the president to nominate you to take over this department. To work behind Marty Walsh is one thing and to learn from him, but you haven't had experience negotiating a major deal between unions and management. And your leadership of an enterprise resulted in $31 billion of fraudulent payments. What am I missing?
So, Senator, thank you on both those points.
thank you.
In terms of business leaders, I think that business leaders and industry associations who've worked with me would paint a different story about both my openness and my desire.
But you've got to meet with them for them to do so. If you haven't met with them for the first 2 years until 6 weeks ago, and you met with unions regularly, that sends a pretty clear message to those business leaders.
So 100% that relationships are very important. I believe that I have them, and I'd be happy to talk to you more about them at any time. But as I said in my opening statement, I think anybody who knows my record would say that I am someone who is communicative, transparent, and really sees that there is tremendous areas of common ground between employers who are job creators and employees who do the work.
That's as accurate as it is irrelevant to your competence to be able to lead a negotiation fraught between unions and management. Help me with the $31 billion.
Thank you for that, Senator. So the vast majority, over 95% of the fraud in the unemployment system, not just in California, but across the nation, was in the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, a program that was passed by Congress to meet a very, very urgent need, an unprecedented crisis that was viewed to require an unprecedented solution. That Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program did not have the safeguards that regular unemployment insurance does.
You set those safeguards. There are guidelines in California you chose to waive to get that money out.
Yes.
$31 billion.
So, Senator,
you realize what $31 billion would have meant to the people in Ukraine? Had we been able to double our military support there?
Yes, yes. And that is why fraud, waste, and abuse of any kind is completely unacceptable. That is why in California,
clearly it wasn't.
As soon as we knew that there was fraud happening, I shut the front door to that fraud. I made changes to the program that would ensure that people couldn't get in the front door. But to be very clear,
what about the back
door? State auditor who did many audits never found that my eliminating eligibility requirements resulted in any of the pandemic unemployment system fraud that we're talking about.
My time is up. The buck stops at the top. You're the person running UI. You're the one that decided to waive the guardrails. $31 billion. The idea of promoting a person who's had that experience to a position of leadership of the entire Department of Labor makes no sense at all. Thank you.
$31 billion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that question. $31 billion is about as much money as we spent in military aid to Ukraine, according to Romney. It's twice the total budget of the Department of Labor. She threw in the garbage twice as much money as her entire department would spend in a given year. And she's up to be head of the Department of Labor, the United States Department of Labor. She's going to run it.
Through that answer. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Plus, listen to her talk. She's a dud.
Let's not forget the other issue. It's got her face on it, which is Assembly Bill 5. That's the one that was going to tank the freelancers in this state. People that make their own hours. Some of them drive the Ubers. Some of them do many other jobs. She pushed that through. She was a big proponent of it.
Yeah.
Even though it came through the legislature.
It ruined.
They're saying that now that if she becomes labor secretary, this is going to be something she wants to do nationwide.
Oh, she ruined the lives of independent contractors until the law was repealed by the voters.
Well, two things happened, right? Well, the thing that happened affected Uber and Lyft drivers, but they started carving out all sorts of exemptions is what happened. So many, many freelancers got around AB 5 because of either the ballot measure or because they carved out a whole lot of exceptions.
Right, but she pushed it. In her world, in her world, there'd be no independent contractors in the United States if we could have Julie Sue's government.
Because she's in the pocket of the unions. That's what you heard Romney saying. She's meeting with all these union officials. She's ignoring business leaders.
So
that's who she is.
So people who work hard and run their own businesses as independent contractors, you all are out of business. If you're a fraudster, you're in business. We had $31 billion for you here if you're a crook.
Let's not forget why they pushed Assembly Bill 5 and that cow, Lorena Gonzalez from San Diego, who's to be in the assembly. She's now the head of a big labor organization. That's all it was an attempt to get everybody unionized. That's what they wanted to do by making them employees. The next step would be to unionize them. It was just a massive union effort. All right, when we return, we're going to be talking to the mayor of Laverne, Tim Hepburn, who's going to talk about the frustrations that he and a neighboring community of San Dimas is feeling because they're putting up a housing project and probably not much they can do about it, but they weren't given much heads up about it. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeart Radio app.
And Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime, on demand, on the iHeart Radio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.